Do you want more energy, better sleep, and better health? Who wouldn't? Get a free Scalar Light no obligation 15-day trial at scalarlight.com.
So much for listening today to the show. This is the Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, and my name is Peter Alton, your host for today and the coming weeks. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. My name is Peter Alton, and I'm here with you today to talk about all things helping you as a person with diabetes to live life in a safer way. What is the show about today? We're here to talk about diabetes, not football, not losing matches and not getting the cup. We're here to talk about your personal victory, your personal cup that you can lift high over your head when you defeat the diabetes in your life, when you take control of it, when you are in charge of your diabetes. So today what we're going to be doing is we're going to be actually talking to a couple of really close friends of mine, actually, who have become friends only through their journey with diabetes. One of them has diabetes, the other one doesn't. They are a couple, and the second person who doesn't have diabetes, she is very, very supportive. So if you like, going back to our usual terminology, she is the sweet spot buddy of Andrew, who has diabetes. And her role as the sweet spot buddy, of course, is to help Andrew to live his life in the best, safest possible manner that he possibly can. That's what being a sweet spot buddy is all about. But it's not just about getting people with type 2 into the diabetes sweet spot, people with type 1 as well. There is that safest possible place where you can live with your diabetes. So it may be slightly different getting into it than with type 2, but actually there are a lot of similarities, a lot of things that you can do as somebody who is on insulin with type 1 diabetes to improve your blood sugars, to improve your health, to improve your foot health, to be able to reduce the chances of complications, both internally with cardiovascular system, the kidneys, the eyes, and also with the whole healing rate of the feet and the sensation within the feet. So there's a lot that you can do, be it type 1 or type 2. So today we're going to be listening to or talking with Andrew and Jane. And before we do that, as I said, I would just like to play that song, Arizona, I Was Wrong. I think it is good to own up when you are wrong in any situation, to not just to bluff, but to actually say, you know what, I got it wrong, and then move on. So there may be some of you in your lives who actually have that feeling about your diabetes. Maybe you've tried a diet before and it's gone terribly wrong. Maybe it was very successful and then you went back to your bad ways. Well, just admit it. Just say, I was wrong. I got it wrong. And move on and get it right next time. So here's the song, Arizona, I Was Wrong. As we play it, think about times where maybe you've been wrong, particularly with your diabetes, and think about what you might do better. And what is a real, real good thing to do is actually to think about ways that you might go wrong in the future. Think of what some of those traps are. Those one of our friends in the past used to call them tiger traps. So something which is going to, you know, will maybe tempt you. You know, will be a trap that you'll fall into and go back to bad ways. So think about those, what they might be, because it's a darn sight easier knowing that they're coming, seeing it and fighting it, rather than succumbing to it because you weren't aware and then having to beat yourself up about it afterwards. So Think about those things and enjoy the song by Arizona, I Was Wrong.
Oh, I can see the doubt in those eyes. Even though you try to hide it, there's not much to figure out. 'Cause I know why. And I won't try to fight it, try to fight it. And I'll be the first to tell you, you were right. Oh, you were right, oh, you were right. Won't try to say I'm sorry this time. But I want you to know that I was wrong. I know I just wanna say that I was wrong. I know Oh, I want you to know that I was wrong. I know I just wanna say that I was wrong. I know It used to be so warm, those days. I try not to remember. I got lost in the storm, my ways. Couldn't pull myself together, And I'll be the first to tell you, you were right. Oh, you were right, oh, you were right. I'm trying to say I'm sorry this time. But I want you to know that I was wrong. I know I just wanna say that I was wrong. I know Oh, I want you to know that I was wrong. I know I just wanna say that I was wrong. I know
There we have it, Arizona and I Was Wrong. And for those of you just joining, I was basically owning up to being wrong about the football result, which last week I was very much bigging up England, that we were going to win and we were going to lift up the cup. Well, we did win the semi-final to get into the final, of course, but I know if any of you are English listening to this, you'll be well aware of the results. If you're Italian, you'll be well aware of the results. Maybe some of the countries around the world who haven't got as much interest in football, or maybe some of the listeners that haven't got as much interest in football aren't aware. But England were beaten by Italy in penalty shootout. And yeah, enough said. We move on and hope for glory in the World Cup next year. So without further ado, let's get on with the show. And this week I thought it would be a fantastic idea to have some people share who have experienced what it's like to get into the diabetic sweet spot. And I have a couple of guests on the show today, one of whom has diabetes and the other of whom is the partner of that person, and they're very supportive of his diabetes and supportive of him doing something about his diabetes. So without further ado, I would like to introduce to you, welcome to you, Dr. Andrew Crilly and Jane Johnson. And I should just say a little bit about them, because they are very special people. Not just special in so much as being really good friends now, but also special with the things that they've done in their lives. So they've done so much working for the BBC in the past. They've had their own companies, a company called Mac 3 and I believe one called Mac 2 based over in Singapore some years ago. And one thing I did want to share was that Dr. Andrew is not actually a medical doctor. His doctorate is from a PhD in relativistic, I cannot even say the word, relativistic astrophysics from the University of London. And I never knew this actually until just literally reading from his CV as we speak. I didn't realize that he gained that in 1967, which is the very year that I was born. So, wow, my hat off to you, Andrew. Amazing. And both of you, the work that you have done over the years, not just in business and in BBC and in media, but also I know that you've done a lot of work as well in charitable work, and one that particularly springs to mind was being the brains behind things called cinema vans, and these went around rural Africa into the villages, sharing media, health education messages to the local people in those villages. Amazing, amazing thing, which has helped many, many people with many diseases. So well done to them for that. But today the floor is theirs. I'm going to be talking with them about their own personal journey. And with that, I'd like you to welcome Dr. Andrew Crilly and Jane Johnson.
Thank you. Nice. Thank you very much. Yeah. Yes.
And I think we've got weather over here that's possibly approaching the weather where you are. Tell us where you are.
We're in Hawaii.
Oh, wow. We haven't got the beaches here in London, though.
We've got a nice breeze blowing here.
Have you? Yeah. Over here it's pretty stagnant.
I don't think you can get a further distance from the UK with a sort of landmass. I think we're nearest, farthest, as it were, from you guys. And I'm not saying that's what we're aiming for, but anyway, it's just a fact. We're not running away. We're not running away.
No. The facts of the internet, you can't run away. So today, I'm really, really excited about talking with you today, because I, over the past couple of years or so that I've known you, I've really grown to appreciate you for what you're doing for us, but particularly for what you're doing for yourself and selves as well. Just for the record on the radio, Andrew and Jane are a couple. And Andrew, today we're going to be talking about your perspective as someone who is living in the diabetic sweet spot. We often talk about on the radio here about getting into the diabetic sweet spot, but we haven't really had anyone actually on who's been able to share really what they've experienced.
Right.
And of course, Jane, as your other half, it's what you experience as well. I'm sure we'll have some fun.
Well, I should also say, because you never will, that yourself and Tina were very supportive and part of the team that was getting me up to speed when we started on this over 2 years ago. So thanks to you two as well.
Well, thank you. Thank you. But you guys are the ones that have done all the work. So, Andrew, perhaps you can just start off just telling us a little bit of your journey of, or between the two of you for that matter, your journey, Andrew, with diabetes, how long you've had it, what type it is, et cetera. And,
Sure. Well, I've had type 2 diabetes for about 20 years. And I first had it diagnosed here in Hawaii, actually, because I got some tingling in the feet. And I went along to see my local doctor. And through a series of tests, he told me that I was type 2 diabetes and that we'd have to be doing some therapy drugs in order to improve, live with it, manage it, and sort of get on with it. So, of course, that was pretty devastating, but I do remember that even at this early stage, the health authorities here were really supportive. I mean, they would make phone calls. How are you? What's happening? Don't worry too much about this. Don't worry too much about that. And that was a service that would go on forever if I desired, if I wished it. So, you know, straight away we were into a network which was new to us, but it was actually very, very supportive. Then we came away, we went to work in other parts on various educational and exploratory projects. And in the course of that, living with a friend in Oxted, I happened on a certain podiatry company. And Jane and I, straight off the high street, we saw your Circle Podiatry office and thought that would make a very useful visit, because at the time, we hadn't put anything into the way that the feet might be managed. And so it proved to be the case, because we made an appointment and it wasn't long before we were talking with Peter and working things out. And that, of course, was a great help and the beginnings of a great relationship too.
Absolutely. I can certainly remember that day. We won't go patient confidentiality and all that. We won't go into everything. Can you remember what it felt like when you were walking away from that appointment, what you felt?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I felt very relaxed, because we knew that the feet were part of the complication of diabetes. So we were wondering what would happen, what would be the results of prolonged, diabetic disease. And you answered all the questions. And I had, of course, a hunch that the feet weren't what they might be. But at that stage, we both felt that we could solve it. You know, we could actually restore what I needed to walk on. So I felt very relaxed, because I felt that something was going to be done, which proved to be the case.
And could be done, yeah. I mean, things like going out for a long walk in the woods or up a hill or something, there were times when it was a real problem, because he couldn't feel his feet. So if you've got a lot of tree roots, that's a real problem, you know, you start stumbling over things.
But I'm now able to walk 3 miles a day, which is pretty amazing, every day. And that's, you know, due to help. I've had treatment from yourself, from the local podiatrist here, and just having a will to get on with exercise, you know.
Yeah, I'm envious of that podiatrist over there getting to see your feet. Not.
Anyway, by the time we met Peter, it was back a bit. And so I was feeling that I could get some relief from him because of the feet complications, which I'd read up were always very, very threatening. So that led us to an examination, and indeed Peter discovered foot damage and provided a full report and remedies that could actually help me get along with that position. And that's what we did, and we did it together. And Jane, of course, was very supportive of all of this. And since those days, that was approximately 2 to 3 years ago, I've been working with Peter in his care, listening to all that he says, and several other people have come into the picture due to a migration back to Hawaii. Incidentally, Peter, I think just for completeness, if you can bear it, I think that your book had a strong influence, because you spell it all out there in ways which, you know, are very, very clear, and making sure that the consequences of not acting rather to be avoided, you know. So that, of course, reading that and getting more and more involved from internet exchanges, and then meeting with David Caban, and getting additional medical help from him, that's been very important. And I think we've developed a sense of, you know, this is probably the most ideal support team that any patient could ever have. You know,
yeah, it's got
international doctors, international mentors, learning support, study support. I mean, you know, that's, I'm very, very fortunate to have that support.
So let's progress on.
Yeah.
I I want to just get an idea, and Jane, you may well want to chip in on this one as well. In fact, maybe it's better coming from you than from Andrew, I don't know. In hindsight, what would Andrew's, and I suppose yours as well, but Andrew's lifestyle have been like before he made this decision to get into the sweet spot?
Knowing that he was diabetic or...
Generally
before we knew, the only inkling, we didn't think there was anything wrong. He used to put on quite a bit of weight. But then we were having constant kind of business meals and just generally not paying much attention to diet at all.
So yeah, it was a lot of overeating and the wrong sort of food.
Yeah, so we didn't think that was anything.
Right.
And so, yeah.
There wasn't really much regular exercise. There was attempted exercise, but
yeah,
it wasn't a regime, if you know what I mean, Peter.
Right.
So, I mean, in summary, overeating, wrong food, no exercise, and
a lot of sitting as well, because we'd be working, but a lot of the time we'd be sitting at desks or editing or whatever.
And it did lead to overweight.
I mean,
I put on the pounds, you know, and it sort of showed.
So he'd do that, and then we'd have a big burst and get rid of it, and then we'd come back again. So it was that kind of yo-yo thing.
Right. Well, I'm sure many, many of the listeners can relate to that. Because largely we haven't been warned, have we, really? I mean, over the years, it's not really been... people have known about weight and wanting to have fad diets, but they've not really known about the dangers of diabetes coming on.
I think that's the main point, that you don't see it as anything serious. It's like the doctor says, oh, you're obviously diabetic because, you know, these are the results. And we didn't know much about it, and it didn't seem like, well, you know, it's nothing serious. But actually, if you don't take it seriously, then obviously, as you know, as a podiatrist, it can be really drastic, the end results, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and what you're saying there is so true, because, I mean, Andrew had a little bit of tingling at the beginning in his feet. Some people have no symptoms whatsoever. You know, sometimes it's picked up just by a random blood test that they have. And they may have had it for 10 years without actually having any symptoms, but it's gradually gnawing away at their bodies.
Yeah, the other thing that happened actually was a visit to a dentist, and he sent us away. He refused to treat Andrew because he said his blood pressure was so high off the scale that he wasn't prepared to give injections. So that was a bit of a shock, and we thought, oh, he's just being ridiculous.
Well, it was a mostly work stress thing there. I mean, I've always had a little bit over the top in terms of blood pressure, but on that occasion, I remember we just came out of quite a high-powered meeting and then plopped
in
the chair.
And we kind of almost ran up to the dentist because we were a bit late, so...
Yeah, but anyway, it was a good warning signal.
I know from speaking with you in the past that that has been quite a significant problem. But that, again, getting into the sweet spot seems to have helped that massively too.
Well, it's kind of interesting.
Just recently.
I'm not sure what turned it, but I was still around the 190.
Mm.
I was around the 190 with this systolic being about, I don't know, 90, something like that, you know. And I woke up one day and it was all down around 144 and 75, you know. I thought, that's strange. I'm sure that's the machine. But that day we took five readings and it was all normalized. And, it's amazing. So... we were going over it. What is it? What is it we ate? What is it?
Yeah.
What is it? What happened that day, you know?
So then we had salmon, about endless lots of salmon. We thought maybe it was the salmon.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, well, it was...
That should help.
Yeah. Anyway, it turned into a bit of a special day. It's the 8th of June. I remember it very well because the next day it was playing up again. Not so much, actually.
Right.
But then since taking a supplement, it's called noni, and it's a plant that's grown here, a tropical plant, and also another supplement, which is turmeric and ginger.
Mm.
The blood pressure has been really well behaved, really well behaved. So I know, and I've got confidence, and I've been to the doctor, and she got the same satisfactory readings. That's played a part, I think. You know, so it's like a sort of whole solution. You've got, obviously, you've got the drug regime helping. You've got this supplementary stuff. You're careful with the food, avoiding sugar. And you're losing weight. And I think, good, so therefore the heart doesn't have to do so much work every day. So I think it's a combination of those things. But it is rather good that it's well-behaved now.
Yeah, the thing is, you don't realize how everything is interrelated. There's no simple solution. You can't say, right, I don't eat any sugar.
Yeah.
And it's not just that. There's all sorts of other factors. So, yeah, that's one of the toughest things about it.
Mm. Yeah, I think, and it's also an individual thing, I think. For one person, something might help, and another person, it may not help.
There's
no magic bullet.
We've got the doctors puzzled, I can tell you.
but the most important thing is that you decided, hey, I'm going to get into this diabetic sweet spot. I'm going to sort my life out. And you've done it in various ways. You've done it by increasing your exercise, reducing your intake of certain foods, reducing your weight massively. And taking supplements and coming off medications when advised to. So all in all, you're doing all you possibly can with the support of professionals and mentors to be able to get your life sorted out. And that's showing with your blood test results and with your blood pressure results. And that's really encouraging and exciting.
It is. I'm still going to strive to go further.
Yeah, get off the metformin. I mean, that would be really miracle.
Well, the metformin, it's been dropped because of this, not dropped totally, but reduced is the right word, isn't it? The metformin has been reduced on doctor's orders, come down a little bit, and I'm sure that now we could take an even bigger step in reduction, but I'm not actually pushing for that. I sort of want to get a plateau. This is all good living. What's wrong with it? Nothing. And let's see if there comes a stage when I might be able to reduce the metformin even more, you know.
Yeah, because at the moment things are going along well. You're on another drug for diabetes as well, glycoside, which you're advised to... Sorry?
Yeah, that's a good point you made because... Dr. Cavan recommended coming off that, which has since been endorsed by my primary care doctor here.
Mm.
And so that's one that's out of the mix. Well, I guess that's something to cheer about too.
Something to cheer about for you because one less chemical to put in your body. Something to cheer about for the medical system because it's one less drug to pay for. Good news all around there.
Mm.
Just going back to the diagnosis, and this is really for you, Jane, is when you heard of Andrew's diagnosis, how did you feel about it? Did it scare you, or was it just sort of like, oh well, it's happened?
We didn't take it particularly seriously because we didn't realise how complicated it could get, and what. If you don't really do something about it, how drastic it can be, we didn't realise at all. So, you know, we went a long time not paying too much attention to it.
But my father had it, you see, Peter. I may have mentioned that. So there's a genetic, you know, sort of...
tendency.
Tendency. There's we're predisposed genetically to get it. And so when it arrived, it was, well, that's it. It's arrived. Now, my dad didn't have great problems with it at all. I mean, he managed to get the right food, and he managed to sort of keep it all at bay. But it, you know, it's sort of in his case, he was retired and not sort of doing that much. So I guess, you know, I don't know about these things, but if you're retired, then maybe, you know, you can sort of control it much more easily. You're not exerting yourself as much, you know, what you know, proves to be a rather difficult disease could be less under retirement conditions, you know.
But Peter, you haven't said anything about yourself, right?
This is all about you. Why did everyone...
No, but you're
fed up with hearing about me.
You've actually come off the drugs as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, I was on metformin, ramipril for blood pressure, and a statin for cholesterol. And over the past nearly 2 years now, all my blood tests have proven that I don't need to be on those. So I came off metformin very early on in doing Roy Taylor's Newcastle diet. Came off that very, very well. I came off all of them actually very quickly with my doctor's permission.
Yes.
And yeah, it's still a struggle. I mean, I think, you know, when we talk about the diabetic being the diabetic sweet spot, it is the ideal is to have it reversed, as we term it, so that your blood sugars are normal without any medication. But yes, for different people, the diabetic sweet spot, in my view, really, it's the best possible place they can be, the safest place they can be for them with their diabetes. Now, ideally, that is without their diabetes. But as in your case, Andrew, it's like you're still taking the metformin. You still have the diabetes, but your blood sugars are being controlled very, very well. I do believe the way you're going, the weight you've lost, that you probably will get off the metformin. Having said that, it has been 20 years or so, you say, since you were diagnosed. So,
yeah. So it might take a bit of getting off it altogether. And I'm very happy, as mentioned earlier. I'm very happy just to wait and see. It sort of seems a good life. What's the problem, you know?
I think you are up against it a little bit where you're living as well, I believe, with the diet.
It's a tough life. He did feel enormously better when he got in the sweet spot, you might call it.
Yeah, he got in the sweet spot, and he certainly got into his trousers, if I remember correctly.
Oh yeah.
Oh
yes.
Oh, that's right. That's the problem.
We had a few incidents. Laughs about that. Yeah.
Get two of you in his trousers.
Yeah, walking down the road, and suddenly the trousers are...
Kept falling down in public. I can't face all that, you know.
Oh dear, the mind boggles.
Yeah.
But in a way, they ought to, I mean, I don't know what the cost of it would be, but everyone should be screened regularly for diabetes, shouldn't they?
Yeah, I think in an ideal world, that's something which should be happening. Certainly those that are at a greater risk and predisposed, family history, weight. But I mean, to be honest, you also have the people who we term as tophies, which are thin on the outside, fat on the inside. So some people, you'd look at them and you'd never think they had. We're talking more about type 2 here, I suppose. You'd never think they'd have diabetes, and yet they have got type 2 diabetes, because it's all about that fat internally that's causing the
problem. Right. Oh, no, it's the body's at every level pretty complicated and almost impossible to see how it's all going to work together, but some miracle happens and it does. So yeah. we should expect a few occasional things to go wrong, and that, of course, affects different people differently. And all we can do is just keep trying, and it will be as best as it can be.
Yeah, absolutely. Okie dokes. So you had this scare, you were diagnosed, you went on for, I don't know, 18, 20 years nearly. doing what most people do, which is obeying what their doctor says, which is generally take this medicine, take this medicine, take this medicine, and usually not stressing the fact that, hey, you can really make a big, big difference by your lifestyle. Getting better these days, but certainly in the olden days, it was very much, hey, medication's the only route, and your disease is going to get worse. It's going to deteriorate.
Right. Yeah. It's with you for life.
I was told that because early on I raised the option of Roy Taylor's diet because I read it some time ago when he was first starting it. I read about this and I thought, hey, I could go on that, you know. So I took advice, but I was told no. It's something that, you know, you've got forever. And, you know, and even when I got the whole act together, I was told that, you know, it's a bit like, okay, you're doing brilliantly, but it's a bit like alcoholism. You know, you can never say that you're not alcoholic because you're going to maybe someday return to it, you know. So It's sort of like, you know, you can come off alcoholism, as it were. I mean, I never did drink much, but some people do. And when they get off the wagon, it's a great big celebration. But people do expect, oh, well, that's temporary, you know. So that's what I was told anyway about diabetes, that it's something that you always will have. And if you're taking pills, don't worry. That's not as bad as having injections, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, cross that bridge when it comes. It'll come one day, but for now, you're just taking pills. Yeah, whereas nowadays, there's hopefully with most, well, not with most, but with a lot of GPs, it is becoming more, they're becoming more aware that actually, hey, you've got diabetes, you can turn this around, you can sort your life out and make a difference. So,
I think it's wrong to think that you can get in a situation in which you can just live as everyone else does and pay no attention to what you're eating and how you're exercising. I think you're always going to have to be careful.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to maintain the lifestyle style. Well, yeah, let me say that again. I didn't make that very clear. I mean, it's you get there, you're in the sweet spot, but there's work to do to stay there.
Yeah,
and, absolutely,
You know, and you know, we see if we travel, I just put 1 or 2 pounds on it. I can't stop that, it seems, you know. But once I'm back and in harness, I can get it off again. So, you know, it's definitely sort of something that you will have to maintain and worth doing as well. So worth doing.
That's right. And not to get demotivated if you are, for example, like you say, if you're away on business and, you know, maybe the diet isn't quite as good as it. You try your hardest, but you've got to eat something. And you do, you know, put on a few pounds. It's not time to start getting demotivated. It's time to just realize, hey, you know what? Actually, being in the sweet spot is all about the long term. It's all about having good blood sugars over the long term. And if you have slight dips occasionally, that's not going to, you know, ruin your kidneys and ruin your eyes and ruin your nerves. So long as it is not a regular thing and you're in control most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, one ice cream and one very sweet piece of ripened fruit is enough. The next morning, the blood sugars are, you know,
different. Yeah,
way up. So
they're very sensitive. Of course, we're talking about late night consumption. So you know, what can you expect? I mean, you know.
If
that's another part of it, isn't it, Peter? That you have to have regular meal patterns, you know, in order to make the most of this, and you have to get very consistent sleep in order to make the most of this.
Yeah.
So if any one of those are disrupted, then things are going to go off again. That's just to be expected.
Yeah, absolutely. So going on holiday, going on business, you're likely to have a disrupted lifestyle. Routine.
That's it. And getting that in proportion and in balance is also a big part of it. So you can't live a life wrapped in cotton wool. You've got to, you know, you are feeling normal, so act normally, you know.
Yeah.
It is quite a struggle to find the right kind of food. I mean, every restaurant you go into, every cafe, every outlet, or even buying groceries, everything has sugar in it.
Yeah.
Virtually everything.
I believe it's pretty bad over there from what you've told me.
It's more than in Europe. Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's the reason that Hawaii is probably the most afflicted by diabetes of any place on earth. You know, it's really, I think it could be as many as 1 in 2 predicted for over the next decade. I would have to check that statistic, but, you know, it's amazing. And you see it. I mean, you see a lot of people who are diabetic, and the native Hawaiians are particularly vulnerable, as are any native species or, ethnic groups who have been invaded by Western cultures who bring the sugar with them.
It wasn't part of their diet.
Yeah. So over here, diabetes is rife. And of course, you know, we'd love to do something about that. And I'm sure in the fullness of time, we'll be able to.
Yeah, absolutely. It's on our agenda, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yes. Hit the targets, man.
Well, thank you very much for your time. I know it must be getting pretty late over there.
No problem. It's been a pleasure to be on the show, and we hope that your listeners can, you know, appreciate the sort of messages that you're putting out and value them for their own lives. I'm sure they can, because it just makes so much sense.
So that was my interview today, or first part of it, actually. We've got another half of it to come in a later show. But that was my interview with Dr. Andrew Crilly and Jane Johnson. And thank you so much to them for all that they shared. They were really the pioneers in getting involved in the diabetic sweet spot tutorials that we were doing, the diabetic sweet spot mentoring that we've been doing here at Undefeated. And hearing them sharing their journey, hearing them sharing how things have improved and how much better their quality of life is now, is something that it's what keeps me going. It really does. Hearing when people are saying how much the things that we're doing with them has changed their life, probably changed the length of their life, and certainly change the quality of life and how long they're going to be able to continue doing the things that they love doing. And I'd like you now, as we close out the show, just to really think and let your mind flow as you listen to the next song. Very, very famous song. And I would like you to focus today just on personal health and lifestyle that you have. So the song talks about peace, but I want you to be at peace with yourself regarding your health, regarding your diabetes, regarding your weight, your physical health, physical ability. I'd like you to be at peace with that. And therefore, I want you during this song to imagine, and the song, by the way, is called Imagine. I'd like you to imagine what it would be like, what it would feel like when you went for your next blood test result to hear that your HbA1c was back in the normal range. What would that feel like for you? Perhaps you're somebody who has got some complications. Maybe your feet are feeling a bit numb. Maybe you have some burning sensations in them. Maybe you've got a wound on your foot. Maybe your eyesight is failing. A whole host of things. Maybe your blood, just when you get the results, are just shocking. I'd like you to imagine what it would be like to regain some feeling in your feet, to get rid of the burning sensation, for your eyesight to be clearer, I'd like you to think and dwell on these things. And then realize and know that actually imagining it is good, but it's a pretty pitiful thing to gain all that hope and that excitement about that possibility, but what you imagine comes true. It's pretty hopeless if you're not going to do anything about it. And that is my message today. My message is, as ever, get into that diabetic sweet spot. Learn what you need to know about your disease. Learn what you need to know about your lifestyle, what you need to know about exercise. Understand personally what risk you're at, and then act upon it, whatever it may take. And then I am sure, I'm certain that you will be closer to the diabetic sweet spot by the end of this week. And I'd like you to be able to do that in the knowledge that actually you are probably increasing the number of years that you're going to be living on this planet. You're probably going to be enabling you to be able to do things with your grandkids that you possibly wouldn't be even allowed to do with them otherwise. So let's listen to the song, Imagine, and let your mind fly as you imagine what it would be like to be in the diabetic sweet spot. So I do hope that during that song you were able to imagine, to dream, what it would be like to have your diabetes totally under control. What it would be like to drop your HbA1c next time you went to have your blood test results. To imagine what it would be like to be able to walk a certain distance, run 5k, 10k, run a marathon. What would it be like? What would it feel like? What would it mean to you? What would it mean to your family? What would it mean to those loved ones? That's the end of the show for today, and I do hope that you have really got some deeper conviction today about your journey, with diabetes. I hope that it is going to be something that's meaningful to you, that speaking, listening to Andrew and Jane will really have helped you to see that actually getting into the diabetic sweet spot is not that hard, and yet at the same time it is a challenge. And that's it for this week, folks. You have been listening to Peter Alton with The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. All that remains is for me to be able to say to you, have a fantastic week. Stay safe in the diabetic sweet spot, living the ideal diabetic lifestyle. And I look forward to sharing with you again next week. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.